La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou, 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 font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-don. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.
Bonjour Rugby Friends and welcome to a new edition of the French Rugby Connection podcast with moi and finally Tom Dixon.
We are back and it's lovely to be talking rugby again. Bonsoir.
Bonjour. Bonsoir. Bonsoir. Yes, we did have a little bit of break because I was in La Belle France spending some time with my family in Brittany.
And searching for Easter eggs in your father's garden. Yes. I know how it goes.
Absolutely. Maybe I'm a bit too old to look for Easter eggs, but I definitely enjoyed, you know, the French food and everything, you know, that accompanies it. So, but anyway, back into perfid Albion or L'Angleterre, my second country, or maybe it has become more of my country than France. I'm in between. I'm a Franglaise, but still with a very strong French accent.
I'm a Frenchie now. I have the passport. It's pretty much 17 years since I've been here.
Anyway, I've been here for such a long time. Did I tell you the story that I came over as part of my studies? You know, I was studying English at university, in Brest University. Mm-hmm. And I became a foreign language assistant in a private boys' school.
How wonderful. So which school?
In Bristol, QEH. Yeah, which is very well known for its rugby performance. And yes, I did that for 1 year, then another year. And then I decided to stay in L'Angleterre because I was having such a good time there. But hey, let's stop talking about me and let's talk about the top 14. What's going on, Tom, with the top 14? It's not long now. We only have 4 weekends left.
I know. It's the race to the end. It was a great weekend. The weekend was largely about racing, a little bit about Toulon. The ladies did well. And also the weekend was a little bit about President Macron. Did you pick up on that?
Riffy, can you elaborate a bit further?
It's because the TV coverage of the top 14 on Canal Plus was on strike.
But, oh dear, I believe some matches got interrupted.
It was on strike in a weird compromise kind of way. They were on strike for an hour, including 45 minutes before the matches. So the first 15 minutes of the match, there was just one camera showing what it could. So it would have had an effect if there was serious calls on the fourth official, on TV officials, because they didn't have any coverage. They wouldn't have had the angles. But in fact, there was no real effect on any of the games. There was no difficult decision to be taken. The video referees were actually on the side of the pitch for the first 15 minutes and then ran back to their van. So there you go. Politics interrupts our wonderful game of rugby. Shouldn't happen.
Hopefully it was a one-off and it won't happen again.
We hope that. But it is the final sprint of the top 14.
It is.
And I was going to say the top two are pretty buckled in, and at the bottom it's pretty much the case as well. So it's lots of scrapping in the middle and people trying to get to playoffs and unlikely victories and defeats starting to happen. So it's money time and it's exciting. And you actually even... you start questioning whether La Rochelle are buckled in at the top.
Yes, but tell me more. You mentioned, Toulouse and La Rochelle are sitting nicely at the top. However, you mentioned that...
Well, La Rochelle are only one game away. Toulouse have 71 points, La Rochelle have 65 points, yes, and Stade Francais have 60 points. So mm-hmm. only 5 points, one game going the wrong way, would make that second place a bit more of a challenge.
Indeed, absolutely. And behind Toulon, which is incredible. I mean, they won, I think, 10 of the 11 games successively since January after they got trashed, you know, by Brive. Amazing.
I know. I think Toulon are very exciting. And they have always had the caliber of player to make a good run for it. But that's said at the top of the weekend was partly about Toulon. Okay. Well, let's get on to the games, Véronique. In reverse order, my one was Sunday night at 9 p.m., which means it can only be Stade Toulousain.
Of course. Bien sûr.
And they were at home to the mighty Lyon. And it was a strange game because Toulouse were resting lots of internationals, as you might imagine, after the Six Nations, after Europe, before the next bit of Europe. And so on the bench was Ramos, Dupont, and Bay. And 4 minutes into the game, that changed. We had Arthur Retier, the winger, gashing his leg. So Ramos ended up doing 76 minutes instead of having a rest for most of the team. And then 10 minutes later, our other winger, Ange Capioso, hurt his bad knee again. Serious problem there.
So, I know, and it's not the first time. I believe that's the second time, and he'll be out for a few weeks now.
Yeah, he came back before he should have done. Clearly, a risk was taken. So Toulouse had lost both their wingers 10 minutes into the game, and instead of resting our superstars, Dupont and Ramos were on pretty much for the whole match. So they can rest another time somehow. And then what a game. So by 10 minutes, we had lost two wingers, and Lyon had scored two tries. To the mighty Lyon put Toulouse down 14-0 at the game. So can you imagine what it was like in the stadium? But by halftime, with Tony Obridge back on the pitch, we were 20 points to 17 up at halftime. It was still a close match, and it was still plenty of frightening moments. But for the bounce of the ball and the weird rugby gods, it could have been a difficult day for Toulouse. But in the end, it came out after half time.
Yes, it's my fault. We were talking about schools before.
And Toulouse kept the scoreboard ticking over. The exciting final 10 minutes that you always want, again, Toulouse conceded two tries. So they conceded two tries in the first 10 minutes and in the last 10 minutes, which made it very exciting and a well-deserved defensive point for Lyon. The game started. They're celebrating 40 years of sponsorship by Airbus.
Airbus, yes.
Airbus, mm-hmm. The makers of Le Big Jets, the A380. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether you can remember the film Victus.
Yes, Victus. I do. Invictus, which related to the win of the South African team
in the 1995 World Cup,
with the cup being presented by Nelson Mandela.
You're Morgan Freeman, wasn't it?
Of course, yes.
And Matt Damon playing Franz Sapina. But in that film, and indeed at the World Cup final, it was preceded by a huge jet flying slowly and low over the stadium.
That is correct. And that was one of the facts that was told by some of our guests, last year.
Oh, wonderful. Well, can you imagine how they started the match on Sunday night?
Was it like a déjà vu? Hopefully it was on the airplane. Airplane rehearsal, you know, that film from the 70s, but more like 95 déjà vu.
That's true. It was déjà vu all over again. And so they did the plane thing, and then another plane came over and dropped the match ball, with four parachutists bringing it down. So there is a bit of a celebration, and you really get the impression that the end of the season is nearly upon us and it's starting to get important. So lovely evening, except it was so damn late, 21:05 start. So victory to Stade Toulousain, 4 points. They remain at the top of the table. They need to rest some of their key players. Lyon got a defensive point. So well done them.
Yes. And in the meantime, in Paris, there was no Airbus flying over the stadium. But instead, inside the stadium, Bruce Wickstein was there. So what happened? Obviously, the game between Racing 92 against Bordeaux couldn't take place because of Bruce Springsteen. So it took place in Lens, in the stadium Félix Baléard.
Which was fine. I mean, I'd have preferred to be at Bruce Springsteen, and he plays for longer than many other rugby players could. But nonetheless, that was a very close game, wasn't it?
It was 31-28. And, you know, just to give some context, is that the week before, you may remember, Bordeaux really needed to win after being trashed by La Rochelle.
Yeah.
The score was 6-36, though they were ready, you know, to reconquer their honour. At the beginning, the game was dominated by Bordeaux, but it was only saved and revitalized when Gaël Ficou, the captain, who was wearing for the first time a Racing Metro Racing Metro. Racing 92 jersey when he came on the pitch and he scored a try with at the 47 minutes. And afterwards, you had the, you know, the bench turning up with the likes of Ben Arous, Finn Russell, Karashili, Narissa, and yes, you're absolutely right. Magicians, Finn Russell, you know, produces magic again. He's got that je ne sais quoi. And Barth is very, very lucky to have him. I'm sure he must have had a few beers to celebrate that win that was unlikely to happen. So Maxime Lucu was very disappointed, as you can appreciate. And one thing I have to say, there was some controversy. There was some talk regarding whether the last try was a penalty try or not, question marks. So, but that meant that Racing 92 won the game thanks to that penalty try awarded by the referee.
Of course. Well, how exciting. So, yeah, on the last minute, the lead changes, Bordeaux get kicked into touch. Now, that they must be worried because they are playing behind low par. They're playing good rugby, but they're not translating it into points and wins. Mm. For the next 2 weeks, they will be playing at 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. This coming week, Bordeaux are facing the mighty Lyon.
Right.
And as I said, Lyon played extremely well away to Toulouse on Sunday night and put up a good fight. So they will be very difficult for Bordeaux to show up against. That's Wednesday the 23rd of April. And I believe I'm right in saying that the following week, the week after that, actually, a fortnight after that, Bordeaux are playing 9 o'clock at night at the Stadium de Toulouse.
Oh, the game is going to be Bordeaux against Toulouse. And I read that our friend Mathieu Jalibert is slowly getting back into form. He's been training, so I'm not sure when, but knowing him, he will be there playing for his club in the last few games and hopefully, you know, make a difference.
Yeah, class is permanent, form is temporary, so you can't keep a good man down.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, another game I would like to mention very quickly is Montpellier versus Castres. First of all, it's today we're recording, it's 19th of April, and it's the birthday of Philippe Saint-André. So, Philippe, bon anniversaire. I sent him a message earlier this morning. However, poor Philippe Saint-André is not too happy with the performance of les six of his team, Reina. They got beaten by Castres. So, it was a kind of déjà vu from the final last year in which Philippe was absolutely phenomenal, you know, scoring, I think, was two tries within the first 20 minutes. My memory is good. So not so good for Montpellier. That's their fourth defeat at home. They're currently sitting at number 9. And after the game, you know, Philippe Saint-André really was extremely angry and frustrated. And he said, ceux qui n'ont pas envie de jouer, ils peuvent rester chez eux. People who don't want to play, they can stay at home, because he felt they didn't show any passion, any want to play to win that game. I don't know whether he's right or not. So they've got 4 games left, Tom. So that means that if they want to reach the top 6, they have to win all of them.
Yeah, so I think they confirmed their averageness at the weekend. It's incredible to think that these were the finalists last year. Montpellier showed how far off they can be from the standard required. Hats off to Castres. They were actually quite an exciting team.
Yes.
They're starting to wake up. It's too late. They're 10th on the table now, but they've managed to avoid the relegation and the excitement of the final stages, so they'll all have nice long holidays. But the Fijians in particular, it was a bit of a surprise, but they woke up and they showed us. So well done them.
Yes, definitely. Another game I have to mention very quickly, Toulon versus Perpignan, on prise note. It took place in Stade Mayol, but what I would like to highlight is that they had some really, really good supporters. You know who they were?
Tell me.
They were basically the former players, the likes of of Matt Gitto and Drew and all the, you know, the Galacticos, you know, from the 2000, Joe Van Nierk. Because yesterday, you have seen on my Twitter account, but the Hall of Fame was inaugurated and 8 players were inducted into the Hall of Fame for Toulon, which is the first time, actually, no other clubs has had a Hall of Fame. I watched it virtually and it was a sleek event. You know, it was a very entertaining. The 8 inductees were Marcel Bayet for the period of 1908 to 1959, Marcel Brodrero, then a bit closer to you, Tom, period 1979, you probably remember him, Christian Carrière.
I know of him, yeah.
André Herrero, of course. And then period 1980-1999, a lovely former player that we had the great privilege to speak to last year, Monsieur Eric Chan.
Ah, friend of the pod.
Definitely, he had a great sense of humor, very dry, you know. He was a funny character. And then Jérôme Gaillon was elected the best player in the 80s and was highly feared by Denis Charvet, that we had on our podcast as well. And from 2000, can you say a few names? Are you guessing?
I suspect there's some non-French names coming up. South African and English, possibly.
Correct, correct. So South African was Joe Van Nierkerk.
Yeah.
Who was very much one of the chouchou of the Stade Mayol. And then, of course, Sir Johnny.
He is not Sir Johnny Wilkinson. He's Johnny Wilkinson, MBE, I think.
It's Johnny Wilkinson.
He has a MBE. Place on my roof, as you know, he's forever kicking into the wind as my weather.
His nickname in Toulon and France as Sir Johnny.
Yeah.
Loved by the English, adored by the French.
Oh, what fun. It's the season for those gala evenings, but nice to see everyone there. I believe Sonny Beale Williams is back, and Matt Gitto and Bacchus Bota. So all good fun. But to bring you back down to earth, I've been invited tomorrow night to a gala night at Colomier Rugby Club for the Oscars of Midi Olympique, paying homage to one of the most exciting teams in the Pro Day Dirt around the Toulouse area, which is Colomier. Sadly, they've had a rubbish week and their season is all but written off, but we can move on to that briefly. it was an exciting 22nd day of the top 14, and taking everything into account, we had Racing 31, Bordeaux 22, as we talked about. Brive lost at home to Stade Francais, 22-27.
Only just.
Brive are relegated, and Stade Francais were aiming for the top. So to have an away win by 5 points was the least you could expect. Pellier beaten at home to Castres, we discussed that. Toulon thrashed Perpignan, 37-15. No surprise there, and I bet you all the heroes would have liked that. Pau beat the mighty Clermont at home. Now, Pau are just managing to stay ahead of the fight for the bottom, as mentioned briefly. Pau beating Clermont, you wouldn't have expected that. There we go, so 23-18, a good close one as well. La Rochelle thrashed Bayonne. Sad because we like Bayonne, but no surprise, La Rochelle at home, pretty much unbeatable. And as we said, Sunday night, Stade Toulousain 36, Lyon 31. So well done. Okay, so with 4 games left of the standard season, we have Stade Toulousain at the top with 71 points. La Rochelle behind them with 65 are in danger from Stade Francais at 60. One game could make the difference. Who are in danger at 57 is Toulon in fourth. 56 is Lyon. 56 is Racing 92. So those top 6 are all very close, and there could be lots of juggling. Coming up from behind, with only 2 points needed to get in there, but with 2 tough matches coming up, a Bordeaux Bergler, so not very optimistic for them. Bayonne next, 8th at 50 points. So still in the fight, a bit of a good win and a good fight, and they could get into the quarterfinals, which would be amazing for the newly promoted side, Chouchou of the pod. ninth Montpellier at 48, 10th Clermont at 46, 11th Castres at 44. These clubs are out of position. They have many of them changed management during the season, obviously. Pau at 41, at 12th, and they're ahead of the relegation zone by 6 points. If you think back, right at the beginning of the season, Pau had a surprise victory over Stade Toulousain.
I remember
saying at the time that wasn't really upsetting for me because Toulouse could afford it. They weren't in competition with Pau, and Pau would really benefit from the points. And so here we are at the end of the season, and Pau are 6 points clear of the next, out of the relegation zone. Where sits Perpignan with 35, not buried yet, unlike poor Brive on 27, who are very many points behind. So that's the standing in the top 14. And next week, we have La Rochelle at home to Clermont, suspect a home win. Castres at home to Toulon. Mm-hmm. Well, Castres did appear to wake up last weekend, but Toulon are on their fantastic stream of victory. So that'll be a hell of a watch to match. Perpignan mm-hmm. at home to Racing 92. I suspect that should be an away victory.
Mm-hmm.
Bayonne at home to Montpellier. That's tricky because Bayonne, when they play in their stadium, they're unbeaten at home. When they went to play a home match in Spain, they did get beaten. But they have beaten all the big boys at home.
Mm-hmm.
Brive at home to Pau. That's going to be an important one. If Brive do manage to knock Pau down, and it's their best chance, that will stir up the bottom of the table. It won't save Brive, but it might drag Pau into it. And then we have the Classico, 9 o'clock on Saturday night. We have the Choc des Stades, Stade Français against Stade Toulousain. Or Pain au Chocolat versus Chocolatine.
Oh, dear. Don't start. We call it in proper French, you say pain au chocolat. Chocolatine is a bastardized word.
Stade Français will be really looking for those points to be competing with La Rochelle. So match worth watching, but I suspect it will be a bit of a letdown because there won't be full strength teams.
But what an exciting competition top 14 is.
And then Sunday night, Bordeaux are at home to Lyon, and that should be a good fight as well. So yeah.
Definitely. I think comparing to some other rugby competition is that the dice haven't been thrown yet.
That's it. The die hasn't been rolled.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So anything could happen between position 3 and 8, I think.
Yeah.
So the Six Nations for women is still going strong, and France again won against Scotland with the score of 55-0. 9 tries were scored by France. France dominated Scotland, but mostly in the second half. In the first half, Scotland did show some defensive, you know, it took a little while for France to score their first try.
Yeah, it was 17-0 at half time, so pretty much 30-0 in the second half. So,
yes.
Fantastic show. Well done, then.
Yes, and Émilie Boulard did a hat trick, and all together, I mean, it's looking good. Next week, they're playing against Wales. Wales lost against England, but if you look at the competition overall, in terms of strength, England and France are more or less in the same pod, but followed by Wales, then Ireland and Italy and Scotland are the ones that are lagging behind.
We did say all along that the single main match that will define the Women's Six Nations is England-France. And I keep on seeing tickets coming up on my email, so don't hesitate getting along to Twickenham.
And so far they've sold 50,000 tickets, so that's amazing.
That's fantastic. But before we leave women's rugby, a competition we don't often mention is the women's under-20s.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what match was at the weekend?
France against England or England against France?
It was indeed. It was. I don't know whether, what you call a crunchette because that's what's coming
we
up.
We can call it crunchette.
It's a nibble et for the under 20s. But yeah, France beat England for the fifth time in a row. It's the opposite pretty much of how the senior team plays. And it was 40 points to 31. Which sounds like we've got that was an exciting match, and looking forward to a few years ahead when they're in the seniors and I get the full support and the professionalism. So, yep, that was the crunch at under 20s.
Very good. I love the Pro D2 again. Again, anything can happen, Reiner.
It's very competitive at the moment. We've got the top one sorted out and we've got the bottom one sorted out. But competing for the playoff places is where the blood is spilled, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Although it must be said, your team, Van, is still in the top six.
I know.
My team, Colomiers, is a little bit out. It goes, Onax and Grenoble are the top two. Then the playoff teams are Mondemasa, who are doing very well, and they scored a horrible, killing the game against Colomiers. Mondemasa, guy in his own half, received the ball and put in a drop kick in the rain and the wind, and it sailed through the post, and Mondemasa took the lead from Colomiers on the final bell. So Colomiers are now well out of the top six. They are 12 points clear of the top six, so it's not looking good. So Mondemasa, 77, Nevers, Agen and Vannes on 76. Then you drop 12 points, so a long way away, Provence, Colomiers on 64. Then come Béziers, Biarritz and Aurillac, 9th, 10th and 11th. Rouen, Angoulême and Montauban just clear of the bottom two, but only 4 points or so clear because Carcassonne at 46 is 15th at the moment and Massy is well relegated. We have the game to watch this week is Friday evening at 7 p.m.
Right.
A team called Van, your team.
I know. I have to say this week I have to raise my beret for a young player, for Demi d'Ouverture, Demi d'Ouverture is a fly half. His name is Maxime Lafarge and he was phenomenal last weekend.
Oh, I've heard his name. I've seen some play. Pro D2 is very good competition indeed, and you see lots of the youngsters working their way through, getting experience before.
Yes, and he's polyvalent. You know, he can do anything on the pitch apparently, and he's very instrumental. You know, in helping his team win. And the compliment comes from his former teammate in Colomiers, Christophe Inselbenk.
You know all these names and can pronounce them so wonderfully.
Maybe not Inselbenk. Apologies for my pronunciation. So it would be very interesting to see that game. So, rugby friends, I hope you enjoyed our quick summary of the top 14 and all the French rugby-related news we aim to please.
It is fantastic. Talking about the rugby that's been and the rugby that's coming up, I just wish you lots of excitement as you follow our great game.
Definitely. And if you can, try to watch some top 14 games this weekend as well.
Okay. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Au revoir. Bon match.
Au revoir.
La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou, glou, glou font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-dong. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.